Jesus is asking you, is he your Lord? Lord. He's like, and I wrote it down, is he my Lord? I said, Lord, okay, is this for me or for the church? You know, because sometimes when you spend some time, in my experience, when I spent some time with the Lord, if I'm taking notes, it could be for me. Or other times it could be for the church or something for me in the church. You know? So it is a very simple question. Jesus is asking you, is he your Lord? And I'm like, okay, well, why this question? And then I start reading the Bible and I realize a lot of people have this mindset. I mean, this great idea. I mean, it sounds so good that Jesus is our Savior, right? Jesus is our Savior, man. I mean, you talk to some people, they want to get saved so they don't go to hell. I mean, just think about it. You know, even when sometimes we preach the gospel, we pay, turn to God, repent of your sin, and, you know, Jesus is our Savior. He came and died on the cross so we could be free from the law, sin, and death, meaning we don't have to go to hell. But then it does not stop there. Jesus must be your Lord. So I went to the Bible, went to my concordance, and I find out just in the New Testament, 700 times the word Lord was mentioned associating with Jesus. 7. Guys, now you know if the Bible is talking, it mentions something 700 times, you know it's important. 700 times. A lot of time people assume having Jesus as their Savior is enough. So I went on and studied the word Lord. In Hebrew, it's Adonai, which means owner, master. Owner. That's where we got the name Land Lord. It's the Lord of the land. It's the master of the land. It's the owner of the land. When they say, well, the landlord wants this, they got that word deep from the Greek. It's the Lord. I mean, of course, they translate it in English, which is the Lord. The landlord. That's your land owner. You know, us Americans, we don't like the mindset, and we don't like the idea of someone owning you. We all love our freedom. But a lot of time we don't understand what freedom is because Jesus came to really set us free. How many times I said it? I said, man, if I'd be looking for someone to really love me the way I am, I don't think I know for a fact there's nobody else on earth that can do that beside Jesus. And you ask yourself, what did Jesus do to the world so they hate him so much? Think about it. Jesus is the only God who came on earth, came from earth, from heaven, live on earth to show us the way, to show us how it's done. Jesus lived a life full of the Holy Spirit. So the word Lord, is Jesus your master? Guys, there's no way around it. Jesus must be your master. To take advantage, that's not a word, you don't take advantage, to benefit from his blessings. He must be your owner. He must be your master. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Is he your Lord? Luke chapter 6, verse 46. I'm actually going to read from the New King James. If you can change that on the screen. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Why are you calling me Lord when you don't obey? Are you obeying the Lord? Are you obeying the Lord? Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Whoever comes to me and hears me and hears my saying and does not and does them, I will show you whom he is like. Well, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So here the question again, Jesus is like, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? And then, which brings me to the other question, which area in your life that you need to completely obey God? Which area in your life you need to completely surrender? Surrender. I seriously have no idea this question is asking to you. I know why God's asking me this question if I take it personal. If Jesus is asking me, Ricardo, am I your Lord? I know exactly what I need to do. And he's asking you today, am I your Lord? Are you obeying him wholeheartedly? At every level? Are you surrendered? Is your life completely surrendered to him? Or are you making logic? Are you in a relationship you shouldn't be? Are you eating things you shouldn't be? Are you doing things you shouldn't do? Now, are you not doing the things you should do? Because sometimes the Lord has a will for your life. He has a plan for your life. But that's not what you want to do. Guys, I read it. None of us has ever sweated blood. Jesus did. In the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is like, Father, are you serious? It's coming. Must I suffer? What is the Lord is asking you right now? You think it's so hard to do. What is it? What is the Lord is telling you? And you're like, man, God, it's so impossible. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. What is he asking you? Maybe it's to serve. I thought about it. I'm like, man, Lord, I have no excuse. I've never sweated blood. I was never so stressed, so scared before, where I sweated blood. You know, I mean, guys, Jesus sweated blood. And he's begging. He's like, God, Lord, is there another way? Is there, guys, that's how he was praying. He's like crying. He's crying. He's like, Abba, Father, there's no other way. Are you sure? Are you sure, God? Oh, Lord, there's no other way. No other way. And then he was in agony. He was in pain. But Jesus lived a life completely surrendered to the Father. Jesus lived his life on earth as God the Father, his Lord. Facing death. For who? On top of it, man, a couple hours later, the people are going to choose Barabbas. Because Pilate, I believe, when I read the Bible, I believe Pilate, you remember, his wife had a revelation. His wife had a revelation saying, this man is innocent, don't touch him. So Pilate thinking, well, how could I create an escape exit for Jesus? He's like, well, guys, every Passover, we release a prisoner. Well, why don't we bring Barabbas? Because he knows, Pilate knows how bad Barabbas was. A murderer, cheater, everybody hated Barabbas. But then he brought Jesus to the side of Barabbas, giving the people the choice. Saying, well, here's your chance to free him. Which one you want? You know, you guys know the rest of the story. They choose Barabbas. But hours before, Jesus, he knows that was coming. Begging Father. Begging, he's like, Lord, there's no other way. Come on, God, you can't, I'm in. But what did he do? He said, not my will, but your will. It's like, Lord, is there another way? And I'm sure you and I, we already know it. There was no other way but Jesus to die on the cross for us. And then we saw him surrender. He said, Lord, not my will, not what I want to do, but what you want to do. And I believe the Lord asking you this question, he's pointing fingers, not judgment, but he's really pointing fingers in some areas in your life. Maybe you're questioning. Maybe you think it's too hard. Say, I'm done. No more. Guys, God wants you to be blessed. Not my will, but your will. I told you a lot of people like the idea of being saved so they can feel good about them not going to hell. But having Jesus as your Lord, listen to what it says in Luke chapter 21 verse 20, Matthew 7 verse 21. He says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of... Man, guys, listen to me. This verse right here is scary. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Not everyone, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Father, is there another way? This is too hard. But Lord, not my will, but your will. Not what I want to do. Not what I want to do. This is what I'll do. This is what you want from me. Guess what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to embrace it. This is what you want from me. Lord, is there another way? Is there another option? Well, there's no other option. Okay, Lord, not my will, but I'm not going to complain. I surrender to his will. And God's calling you to surrender, completely surrender to his will. And he might even take you to the desert. And we don't like the desert. We don't like the desert. Wow. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. So that means there are people in the church who are calling God, Lord, 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 that they will not inherit the kingdom. And this morning, you and I have a great opportunity to really deep, deep in our walk with the Lord. To check to see, is he your Lord? Is he your owner? Is he your master? Is everything you do and you're keeping it in the perspective of the master? The way I treat my wife in my relationship, the way I treat people, the way I do life, you know, the way we drive around, the way we do our businesses, the way we deal with our families, the things you must do. at work, at home? Is he your Lord? If you have been saved by Christ, then of course, that's the only way to salvation. Christ is the only way to eternal life. There is no other option but for Christ to be your Lord. And I want this for all of us. I want you to live a life completely surrendered to Jesus. You know, I'm not following Jesus because of so-and-so. I give you my story. I grew up in the church. From there, I can remember. My mom always took me to church. I mean, as a matter of fact, we used to play church. Me and all my cousins, we used to play. And guess who was the pastor? I was always the pastor. Yeah. I'd bring everybody together. Let's play church. And then I remember I was always the pastor. You know. What do you know? I remember the church I was going to, one of the principal of the church, if you wanted to be a member, being a member of the church, just give you a sense of belonging, accountability. One of the things I had to do, I find out, I was playing in the worship team, good stuff, and what they used to do once a year, a big festival, I don't remember what they call it. It's like all day long, you know, a lot of worship. All the churches in the network come together. It was a beautiful festival. And as a musician, young musician, I love playing music. And I'm like, I remember when I was able to play good enough so the pastor would let me be on that team. And I was looking forward to play on that day. It was May 1st. And then here comes May 1st. I showed up. They said, I can't get in. And I'm like, well, what do you mean I can't get in? Well, they said, I'm not a member. I'm like, well, since when? I grew up in this church. I've been coming. I'm in youth group. I sing at weddings. I'm always doing solos. So what are you talking about? I'm a member. They're like, well, you're not baptized. I'm like, okay, so I need to get baptized to be a member. I said, baptize me. Give me water right now. But you know, unfortunately for me, I had to do like a 6-month class, baptism class, and then I missed that. Man, that was terrible. I couldn't wait for next year. So I got baptized. I had no idea about, you know, what baptism was about. I went to the class. The preacher, he did good job teaching us, but that's not what my vision was. So here I am. Growing up in church, I heard about Christ, I prayed the prayers, I knew a lot of the verses, but I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know God. Jesus wasn't my Lord. Until 1997, I went to a ministry school where one of the requirements to be part of the ministry school, they give you homework. So the homework started in Matthew. Every day we had 3 chapters. And I started reading Matthew. By the time I got to Matthew chapter 10, I realized I'm not a believer. This is when my eyes began to open. I was just like, wow. I grew up in church, but what I'm reading this was the first time I actually read the Bible. I was 18 years old. I always remember I played church. You know, I sing all the songs. I played in the worship team. The first time I read the Bible in July 1996, I realized, oh, no. Okay, I better give my life to Jesus right now. And that's when I become a believer. But I was baptized in water. And I believe even such a simple message like we're talking today, we think it's simple, but it's just a good thing to keep us in perspective. You know, we go for doctor checks, right? Checkup. You know, certain age you get, you got to go for your checkup. Sometimes you go not because you're feeling bad, but you go check, making sure things are running good. Spiritually, it's the same thing. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, Examine yourself. Do like a test. Examine yourself. And that, I believe that's why the Lord wants you to hear this. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, listen to what it says. It says, then he said to the crowd, if any one of you wants to be my follower, then you must turn to your selfish ways. Well, the New King James says, deny yourself. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. The Message version says, if anyone wants to follow Jesus, you must let him drive. See? I love this. You can't give Jesus a ride in your life. It doesn't work like that. It's like, you know, this is my ride, Jesus. Come on, hop on. Let's go, Jesus. Zoom, zoom. Let's go. Right? And then I'm taking Jesus everywhere I go. Right? No, it doesn't work like that. Jesus is saying, if you wish to be my, anyone desires to come after me, follow me, let him deny himself. Oh my goodness. Deny your rights. Wow. What does that tell you? There's no option. He must be the master. He must tell you how to live. He must tell you how to deal with people. That's it. There's no way around it. You know, it's kind of sad that nowadays, if preachers are not careful, we want to water down the message because we don't want to offend people. You know? Especially if this person is kind of the biggest donor, you know, and you can see how much they're supporting the ministry. You don't want to offend them. I pray for anybody anybody who's calling ministry. I pray for them if they're operating in this mindset. Culture doesn't tell us how to live our Christian life. Jesus does. You know? You don't decide how you live your life. Jesus does. Now, if you don't like that, guess what? Walk in. If you don't like that, go live your life for yourself. But if you want to follow him, those are not my words. If you really want to follow Jesus, commit to him. You know, I heard a guy give the story. He's like, you know, when you have a girlfriend, he says, I had this girlfriend. You know, he thought he really liked her, but then one day he went to a place and he saw another girl. He saw another girl. And that girl he saw is just like, wow. Man, she's not just beautiful, but then it's just like some things he really liked about that girl. So he wanted to pursue the other girl. So, with, you know, good, they, him and the present relationship, they talk about it, and they said, you know what, let's just call it off. So he called it off, and then went after the girl he thinks. See, what he didn't do, he didn't bring that new girl into the relationship and make it a triplet relationship, one guy with two women. He left one to go after the other. And happily married. I mean, he thinks that was a godly thing. You can't bring Jesus into your relationship. You got into your worldly relationship. Jesus and the devil doesn't go hand in hand. You got to leave the world behind and go with Jesus. And that's the problem. Sometimes in church, we want to mix Jesus with the world. He's asking me, he's asking you, am I your Lord? And if he's your Lord, he's got the right to wake you up at 4 in the morning. He's got the right to tell you how to live your life. If anyone wants to follow me, you must turn from your selfish ways, deny yourself, take up your cross daily. Whew, I didn't even think about it. I should have bought a cross. Daily, can you imagine carrying a cross daily? That means you are intentionally making sure you're following the orders of your master. That's how you will be blessed. If you try to hang to your life, hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up for my sake, you will save it. So what if Jesus is really telling you to go knock at doors to talk to people? Will you do it? What if Jesus is really telling you to stop hanging out with this crowd because bad company corrupts good manners? What if the Lord is really telling you to get rid of that friendship? What if the Lord is really telling you to ask for forgiveness? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God. Do you want to follow Jesus? It's a personal question. Do you want to surrender to him? That's a real question. I was reminded of John chapter 19 and 20, where Jesus was encountering Peter. And this is the attitude I want us to have as we close this. Do you remember the night before Jesus was betrayed? He was talking to the disciples, eating together. He told the guys, like, guys, tonight, one of you going to disown me, all of you. As a matter of fact, he says, one of you going to betray me, but all of you will disown me. And everybody was just like, man, who is this man? And then Peter, the bold one, you know, he's like, come on, Jesus, what are you talking about? Jesus, even if you're going to die. And I believe Peter was serious. When I read the Bible and I'm meditating on that, I believe Peter was dead serious about not betraying Jesus. But he didn't have the Holy Spirit. And then we all know Peter got a lot of beatings and then died for the cross. So Peter denied Jesus, just died, rose up from the dead. Before he went to heaven, he was having a conversation with Peter and John. And he asked Peter, he's like, Peter, do you love me? Peter's like, come on, Lord, you know I love you. Okay, Jesus asked again, Peter, do you love me? On the third time, Jesus asked again, do you love me? The Bible says Peter felt sad. And then he said, oh, Lord, you know me. See, Jesus knows you better than anybody else. Remember, the enemy doesn't know your thoughts until you start speaking it. But there would be three people who really knows you. It would be you, God, first of all. You know yourself. And the enemy try you out. But he doesn't know your strength. So is Jesus your Lord? I ask the question again. Do you want to follow Jesus? It's a personal question. Do you want to deny yourself to follow Jesus? That's a personal question. You search your heart. Do you want to take your cross to follow Jesus? And this morning, you and I have a great opportunity to say to the Lord, not my will, but your will. I'm going to take some time to give you a moment to respond to this message, because I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to each of us here. Not my will, but your will. What are some areas in your life you need to say that to Jesus this morning?